Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about how great it is to teach the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am with my co-host, Julie Hilliard.
Hi, hello, Julie. Kevin Jones. How's it going?
Great. So, Julie Hilliard, does anyone do that to you?
No, you know what, though, when people don't know how to spell my name, I have to say it's like a hill and a yard.
Oh, yeah. Nice and so easy.
It totally works.
It does.
You know, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's exactly how it is. All right. Uh-huh. Julie, surprise us. Amaze us with what you've been thinking about lately.
Let me tell you what I've been thinking about. Okay. So remember how recently we talked about that limited series that they're doing on Why Religion, about teaching. So I was listening to one a little while ago with Anthony Sweat. And he brought up these seven hungers of learning. And I'm like, huh? What? Okay. So this is how he described it. I loved this. I thought this was awesome. He's like, you know how when you go into your house and your mom's like cooked something super yummy and you're like, oh, that smells so good. I didn't even know I was hungry. And then next thing you know, you really want to eat whatever it was.
Yes.
And he was talking about some of the things that we can do in our classes to create that kind of hunger for learning.
I like that.
Isn't that awesome?
Great concept. Yes.
So I'm going to go through and I'm going to read all of them. I'm going to list them. And maybe this is something that we could put into the show notes just so that people can see this list, because it's a really great list. And then we're going to talk about one of them and only one. Okay. Wow. So his list, number one, challenge an assumption. You love that one because you love doing that, right?
Yes, I do.
Number two, give them new knowledge. So something new that they've never heard before. Number three, inspire a sense of wonder or awe. So like something super cool. Mm-hmm. Number four, share something that you or another person are super passionate about. So it says share something personal.
Gotcha.
Or something that you're passionate about. I was like, why does that not look right? Because when you share stories, when you share things that you're enthusiastic about, it's almost contagious, right? And they want to learn more about it. And when you share personal experiences, people are kind of drawn in. So number five, I like this one. Give them a problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it says it may be a problem that they actually have or a hypothetical problem that they might be able to relate to. And I thought about this, how I learned from my friends, Greg and Brad Gillespie, that real play is always better than role play. And so the more frequently you can take something that's actually, you know, being experienced by someone in that space, the better it is. And so give them a problem to solve. So what problem does the person in your class have or the kid in your family have or whatever, and actually work through the problem using a principle of the gospel. Number six, give them an action to take. And you talked about this very recently in a podcast where you talked about how the plain and precious truths of the gospel invite us to have, we're invited to have an experience with them. That's the way that the gospel of Jesus Christ works at its core, is that we are invited to take action, that we're invited to experiment upon the word, that we're invited to have an experience with every principle of the gospel, right?
Right, right.
So that's number six. Number seven. And this is the one that I want to talk about today.
Okay.
Give them a new perspective that they've never seen before. Okay.
I like that.
So what I would like to talk about is the value of different perspectives. So Kevin, tell me a little bit about why it's valuable for us to try and look at things from different perspectives, just basic. Like, what's the value in that?
Well, it's almost inherent in that phrase, almost really, because when you said that, the first thing that I went to was some of the business ideas I've had.
Yeah.
I've had only because I took two things that seemed not connected and put them together and thought, wow, that's That's an interesting combination. Holy cow, that could really work. That would be really neat. And it was from a totally different perspective. Everyone is thinking about X in one way, but you come at it from a side one, totally different direction, and you realize, wow, that could be used this way. So it's really, it starts kind of branching off and has, and that one thing has more uses now, or can reach more people, we might say.
So what I hear you saying is that when we look at things from a different perspective, all of a sudden our view of the function of it, the purpose of it, the use of it, the application of it broadens.
I like that. Yes, right? That's a great way. Yeah.
Excellent. Can you think of anything else? What are some other reasons that it's valuable for us to try and see things from different perspectives?
For ourselves, we sometimes need to get out of our own heads, need to see things from a different perspective to be valuable to us. Sometimes if we have the same perspective as we did as a child, then it's hard to grow. If we understand one thing the same way from childhood and we don't grow in that, then we're missing out. I was just listening to, was it a podcast? And we've all had this experience, and he just basically said, you can read the Book of Mormon and it says what it says and you can relate to it, but then you get married and you have children and then you read the same passage and you're like, wow, that is totally different, right? So for us to grow, we need to have those different perspectives.
Yes. Okay. So I love that. The idea is that growth comes from seeing things from different perspectives. And when you say growth comes, it's like your view of that thing is expanded. It starts to actually morph and almost look different to you sometimes.
Yeah.
And I love what you were also implying, which is that when you get stuck in your own myopic view, sometimes we're content with that, right? Like sometimes we think that we understand something and that our way of seeing it is the way of seeing it. And it's not that we're not open to other perspectives. We just don't even know that there's something else to consider.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think with the gospel, it's that way a lot, that sometimes, you know, especially if you grew up in the gospel, you don't necessarily know that there is a different perspective to consider. You just accept what you see as truth and the way that you perceive truth as being the only way to see it. Right? It's correct. Like, I mean, it's almost like by saying there are other perspectives that we're saying that stuff in the gospel is negotiable. And that's not at all what we're saying. We're just saying that sometimes there are different ways to view the same thing, right?
Yes.
Wasn't it Uchtdorf that was giving a talk and he related the idea about the guys who were like there was an elephant and one had
the
leg and he was like, oh, this is such a great tree. I love this tree. What a wonderful tree. And another had the trunk and he's like, oh, this snake, it's magnificent. Da, 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 da. And I think that sometimes when we get a little bit myopic, we might not actually even see truth. Like it might be morphed in our minds. Is that fair?
That I think so. I think a lot of times I had never thought of it quite that way, but now I can recognize that sometimes when I learn truth, I think that's the truth.
That's it. Yeah.
That I learned it. Right? And I've got it. And it's not always that way. There are different perspectives on it. Huh. Good.
So, and part of the reason that I say that is because, and I have a specific kind of thought that's going in my brain right now, but like think about how that idea might relate to some of the things that we study about church history or some of the things that we study about social issues and how they marry with principles of the gospel. So, okay, so we won't argue that there is value in trying to look at things from different perspectives. Here's a question. What does it actually mean to perspective take? Like, what does that require of you to try and take a different perspective? Like, walk me through what has to happen in your mind for you to consciously take a different perspective.
I have to get out of my own shoes. I have to... Okay. I don't want to say disregard my view or my perspective, but at least be willing to accept that there is another perspective. I guess that's the first step, right?
Yeah. Is maybe set yours aside for a minute.
Yeah. And be willing to do that and accept that there is another perspective at all.
Yeah. Is that humility? Like yeah. having the humility yep. to, and then openness? Maybe you have to like kind sure. of open your mind to the idea of something else and be humble enough to say, oh, there's a different way than my way. Okay.
So
sorry, what else? Keep going.
So in, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, Julie, but when I think of perspective take, that means that someone else already has that perspective and I'm, mm-hmm. I am borrowing yeah. it from them already. I mean,
yeah, I love it.
Okay. So I'm going that. In the right yes. direction there.
Okay. You are going in the right direction because part of what you're acknowledging in that is that just like you have an opinion, thoughts, a perspective about something, you are validating the fact that other people also have thoughts, an opinion, mm-hmm. perspective. And you're saying that has value too. Right?
Right. Okay. Okay. This is where I get stuck. I want to ask you about this.
Okay. Push.
And I think, no, and it's not even a push really against what you're saying at all by any means. I felt that right, what you said right there. And my first reaction was, but my perspective's right.
Okay. Right.
Right.
Okay.
I'll listen to other perspectives. Yeah. But I mean, my perspective's right. And that was the gut reaction. And then quickly following up with, well, maybe it's not. So I can listen to those. And I want to hear.
I love that. I love it because it's so honest, Kevin. Like that is so honest. How often do we even go into a conversation and think, I'm going to try to be open-minded.
Right.
I'm going to try to see it from another perspective. I'm going to try. And
but
at
I know
the same
right.
time, we're thinking in our minds, but I already grasped this, right?
Right, right.
You know what is so frustrating? And this makes us so sad. That what we think about does unconsciously influence our behavior. So think about the fact that if you are thinking in the back of your mind, sure, I'm willing to listen to your perspective, but my perspective is right. How are you going to interact with that person?
Exactly. The words that you're going to say, you're not, yeah. you're, so, okay. So here's another thought there.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between perspective taking and uh-huh. perspective accepting.
Accepting. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just because, but what's the difference? Tell me what the difference is.
So I would say perspective taking is almost taking on and feeling what, how they're feeling and really doing it. Except perspective acceptance is just saying acknowledging is basically what it is. It's acknowledging. Uh-huh. That's all.
Okay. I didn't even know that that is the right word for it, but taking is the right word.
Mm.
Because what we are invited to do is to take it, to put it on, to see how it feels, to see how it changes us when we try it on.
Yeah.
Versus just being like, acknowledge, keep, there's still some distance
yeah.
in an acknowledgement when you yep. perspective accept or whatever, mm-hmm. right? You're like, I see it and I dismiss it
yes.
in a way. But where you take it, you accept, like, I now you can't use the word accept because you just used it. I'm not, I just want to make clear because I don't think we have to use the right word. I don't know if it's even the right word. The point is that you are doing this to the degree that you actually can appreciate, sense, feel, like you are literally trying to look through someone else's eyes
mm-hmm.
and trying to experience what they might experience with that thing. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm on board with
and
you.
And I love that you talked about the fact that this will not come naturally. Like it doesn't. It's really, really hard to do. So think about in your college classes, how sometimes you're asked to argue a specific case or to take the opposing viewpoint. And it's really easy to see the value in that when you're trying to learn, right?
Right.
It is really hard to see the value in that and to be on board when it's something emotional
mm-hmm.
or when you have big feelings about it or big experiences yes. about it, which yes. could even include trauma.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so this is a really difficult exercise. And I think it would be amazing to facilitate some of this in our classes. I want to read a scripture really fast. Let's open up to Philippians. But actually, you know what? You don't even have to open up to it, because I'm actually going to read the ESV version of it.
Oh, great.
So if you want to, yeah, go ahead and open up. It's Philippians, and it's chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And so you can follow along, but I'm going to read the ESV, because I think that this is really, really insightful.
Great.
It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others." Isn't that interesting? Like, I got a little lost in "let nothing be done through strife or vainglory," because those were words that weren't as familiar to me. But the idea of selfish ambition or conceit, vainglory would be like giving glory to yourself. It's like vanity. The root of that is vanity, right? And so it's the idea that we're willing to kind of set ourselves aside a little bit, to not do things from a perspective of self-interest, or in a way saying that I feel like I know better than you. And I think that sometimes, even when you're in a classroom setting where you are learning, that you sometimes think you understand something, and then you just kind of are like, "And this is the way that it is." And so when somebody makes a comment, you might be in your mind going, "I disagree with that," or "That doesn't make any sense," or "Oh, judgy, judgy," and, you know, thinking something judgmental in your mind. I was listening to something a little bit earlier that made me think about this, how sometimes we look at other people's experiences and we judge, so to speak, the way that they are keeping a certain commandment, whether it be how they keep the word of wisdom. You know, do they drink energy drinks or not? Is that in the word of wisdom?
Exactly.
Or, oh, would that outfit allow them to wear their garments? Do you think they're wearing their garments? I don't know if they're wearing their garments. So some of those sideways things that we do, where we're judging other people's interpretation of a principle of the gospel, or judging the way that they are choosing to live a principle of the gospel, is part of what you can kind of attack through perspective taking. You can unravel in yourself that urge or need to judge.
Yes.
Because you're working really hard instead to set aside your conceit, to set aside your selfishness, to set that aside, and instead look out for the interests of others and look out for, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is in your brain right now? You made a face.
I make faces. That's what my family says all the time.
You know, I want to know what thought went through your head that caused the face.
Wow. My, as you say this, my gut reaction to not judging is, okay, I'm human and I judge. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Then I thought, okay, what could replace it so that I'm trying to think of another perspective? And the thing that came to my mind, and I haven't developed this and thought this through really, is okay, they are doing something, let's say they're doing something differently than what I understand or what I do. Rather than judging it, maybe my mind should turn to, I wonder what perspective they're coming from. I would really love to understand that, because that's not the way I think. So I'm almost looking for things that are not the way that I think or the way I would act, and then trying to understand it rather than saying, yeah, judgy. Yeah, that's not the way you should do it, because the way I do it obviously is the right one, the right way.
Right. Kevin, that was like a drop the mic moment. Like what you just described, think about it. You said, is there a way to replace this human instinct of judging with a different behavior, a different kind of thought pattern?
Yeah.
And yes, there is. You just identified it. It's to get curious.
Yeah.
Instead of judging, say, I wonder what I wonder what they're seeing that I'm not seeing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I had an experience at work the other day. I went into a conversation with what I thought was going to be kind of a disciplinary conversation, right? We had this behavior that we were observing in an employee, or actually not observing, hearing about in an employee that was causing some issues in the practice. And we're like, okay, what are we going to do in this? Because I sometimes do consulting work in dental practices. We're like, what are we going to do with this? And it was so interesting because I was talking to the manager. I don't work in the practice every day. I come in and I help with difficult conversations, right? And so I'm coming in totally blind and I'm talking to the manager and she's relating all of this stuff to me. And as we talked further and further, we're like, we don't need to have like a discipline conversation at all. What we need to have is a perspective conversation. And so we made the decision that instead of going in and saying, this is what we're hearing and this is the corrective action and blah, 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 and talking through what needed to change, we wanted to go in and like try and understand it from her perspective. That's literally the words that we used, you know, hey, this is what's being said. Help us to understand from your perspective why this might be something that's being brought to our attention. Instead of an accusation,
right.
Which in, you know, professional setting, that's an odd thing for a manager to do a little bit. Like it's a little bit counterintuitive. You're like, there's a problem. If there is a problem, yo, I'll solve it. That's what you think your manager.
That was good.
Did. I'm sorry to anybody who was not born as old long. I know. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, that's a little bit like counterintuitive. You're like, let's solve the problem. Let's fix it, blah, blah, blah. But instead we went and we actually discovered that we don't think the issue was with her, you know? And we're like, oh, that's such a different way of seeing it. And it actually clarified and muddied the waters at the same time, but it was great because instead of going in and having that kind of bite us in the hiney a little bit later, we went in seeking a different perspective. And I will tell you right now that from experience, I do know that doing this actually can help you save face a lot because we make a lot of assumptions that make us look like idiots.
Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Right? Yeah.
Okay. So let's apply this to being a teacher. And that same thing that I just said about how seeking different perspectives can help you save face a lot is also true when you are teaching, because one of the things that we fail at, because we can't possibly know every person's perspective and experience, is that we sometimes offend in the way that we teach things. We sometimes hurt feelings. We sometimes say things in a way that doesn't come across the way that we intend. We sometimes leave things to misinterpretation. And it's not because we've done a bad job. It's not because we use the wrong words. It's not anything. It's because we are not able to see every person's perspective.
Sure.
So the value in number 7 is when you seek additional perspectives and invite additional perspectives, then you are learning with everybody and conveying a sense of humility and saying, I really recognize that I don't see everything that you all see. So help me see what you see. Right?
Right.
So what are some ways that we can do that? Like, what are some ways I think that we can just say, help me see what you see. And then I have some suggestions that are a little bit less traditional.
All right. So the first thing that I thought of was saying exactly that, getting into maybe a class and saying, all right, this is the way I see this. My view, my guess is that you probably don't all have my view on this.
Right.
I want to hear your view. How do you see this? How would you react to this? And why is that? And just let everyone say their different things and learn each other's. And that's really interesting. Well, why would you think that? Why would you do that? And they may say, well, why do you think that? And you could say, well, you know, I could open up to the scripture and it says this right here. So that's kind of what I'm basing it off of. And they say, well, I'm looking at this scripture and I'm basing it off similar, but different than what you're. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. And allow them. In fact, seek for their perspectives.
Yes, I love that when you literally say, this is how I see it, but I imagine that not everybody sees it the same way. Like,
yeah.
And I think that a really great place to do this is when you're talking about application too, right? When you're saying, I could see one way that this would play out in real life, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And saying, what about you? Like, how should this play out? How could this play out? Let's hear, because that's sometimes where the judgy comes in too, is in how you actually practice a principle.
Yeah.
And so maybe even getting it to the point where you're talking about more than just the principle, because I loved what you just said, where you're like, this scripture, oh, I see, I read this scripture and saw something a little bit different. Or wait, I had this experience and this isn't like necessarily how I would interpret that based on this experience. And oh, what about this? That's awesome. And taking it a step further, if you can get them to the place where they're talking about application specifically, you know, that wouldn't work for me. Or mm-hmm. that wouldn't come naturally for me to do it in that way.
Right.
Right? And inviting different perspectives in that way.
Right.
I love it. Mm. Any other thoughts come to mind as to how you might do that?
Well, you know what? So I'm thinking of a couple others, but there's almost a prerequisite here that I see that the people that you're talking to, they have to be willing to share. They have to be feel safe enough that they can share because, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, taking something and I know it's controversial and I throw it out and just go on. And I assume that, and I, you know, play along with this. Not that I really think that one thing is it, but I know that that will almost rub people the wrong way, right? Just kind of throw it out and say, okay, this is this. And I want people to fight back, not fight back. I want people to disagree and say, whoa. Yeah. I don't want, okay. And then they naturally bring it up, right? So instead of saying, what is it? Introduce something where people were like, no, that's, you know, with teenagers. Well, this is, you know, this is how you handle that. Well, that's not how you handle it today. There's no way in high school that would ever happen. Oh, really? Well, what would happen?
Why
then?
Not?
Tell me
more.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So almost inviting disagreement. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love that. And part of the reason is that it causes them to get, think about that hungry thing, right? Why this is a hunger.
That's a hunger. Yes. Learning.
Because people are like, no. And when they start to feel something, they want to defend it. And so that's kind of like, they're engaged. Right. I think that's fantastic. I think
there's a difference between contention and disagreement.
Totally.
Right? We're not talking about contention. We're talking about disagreement. And you're trying to bring out the disagreement so you can look at other people's perspectives.
Love it. I'm going to talk about that more in just a second. The other thing that you brought up at the beginning of your comment is about them feeling like they don't have any force fields up, right? They don't need to protect themselves that they actually can share. They feel psychologically safe participating. And one of the ways that you help that to happen is by acknowledging and validating every single response. Agree or disagree, you validate. You acknowledge it. You empathize with it.
You show that you
respect it. And so you have to model that for some time in order to be able to have that, you know, kind of more open dialogue.
Yeah, the other as soon as you say, that was dumb, that's a dumb way to look at it.
Yeah, that's going to shut it down.
Try again.
Or if you get defensive, like for example, you say something and that's then good. Somebody's like, well, wait a minute, and you're like, well, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, and they see you kind of wanting to defend your perspective, then they feel the need to defend theirs. And that's an indication that you don't feel super comfortable with the dialogue.
Right.
So you got to prove, you got to earn the privilege of that kind of inviting somebody to take another perspective and disagree with you.
Yeah.
Right? So is every perspective going to be represented in your class?
It can't be.
No way, Jose, right? It can't be. So how do you handle that? Like, how can you get other perspectives of people that aren't there? Can you?
I don't, well, maybe that's a goal that you, that someone may want, but you don't have to get every perspective.
No, you don't. You totally right? don't. But let's say, for example, you want to help people understand that there are other ways of looking okay. at this, and you want to help them develop a little bit of understanding for right. maybe a minority group.
Sure.
Or something like that.
Yeah. So in marketing, what's common to do is to create a persona, to say, who are we marketing to? Who are, name them. What yeah. are they like? What are they, what are their experiences? Da, 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 and go through and create a person and then say, how would they react to this marketing? Or, you yes. know, it, we can pretty much do the same thing and say, okay, you have your, those perspectives. Okay. Let me give you an experience of someone else. And you go and create a persona of someone else and say, how would they see that issue?
Perfect. I love that suggestion. And sometimes in order to really look at something, maybe you have to create multiple personas, mm-hmm. right? But yeah. part of what you're doing is saying, let's invite ourselves to step outside of ourselves. You know, we've heard some different perspectives in here, but like, let's step even further outside of what we're finding in this classroom and try and see what this might look like from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I love the example of, you know, creating different personas to do that. So take everything that we've kind of just talked about right now with this inviting different perspectives from them, inviting them, you know, kind of needing to create some psychological safety so that they'll continue to talk about it. And then even inviting them to take the perspective of somebody who isn't present, maybe in the form of a persona or something like that. And I want you to think about some specific topics for just a second.
Mm.
Okay, so I threw a few topics out and then I listed in just my mind some of the perspectives that I thought could add value to and help us to see more and expand our understanding of a topic. I made a list of those. So for example, let's talk about the topic of God's law. Okay. So what are some of the perspectives that you might want to consider if you are studying about the role of law?
You stumped me.
Okay. I'll give wow. you an example. Okay, what about, please. Here's the first persona, somebody who does not like being told what to do.
Okay. Sure.
How might they view God's law? Okay. What about somebody who is a rule follower? Okay. So you could even divide the class in half and say, okay, you all hate being told what to do and you all mm-hmm. are rule followers. Now tell me how you would tackle this scripture, right? Something like Good. That. What about the perspective of an inmate? Right. Right?
Yeah.
Why not? And argue for the role of God's law. What about from God's perspective? See what That's I'm saying? Great.
Yes, yes. I and love so this.
You have a discussion like that. Okay, so now here's another topic. Let's try another topic real quick and see if we can come up with a few. What about grace? The topic of grace. What are some perspectives that might help us, even personas, that might help us to expand our view on grace?
Three came to mind real quickly on that one. First is... Okay. Just regular LDS perspective. You are who you are. Tell us what that is, what that's like. Then you take an evangelical perspective on that. Excellent. Right?
Yeah.
Then you take someone who has gone through really difficult times in their life and is just learning about God's love and grace. And awesome. And understand awesome. And how do they see it from an experiential level? So those are the three
a recovering addict.
Yes. For example. Something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Someone who's been through something really traumatic and has been healed because of grace.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Any others that come to mind? Those are excellent ones.
Not off the top of my head. Those are
okay. What about a lawyer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Grace and justice, sure.
Yeah. So that's another one. A justice lover. So, okay, excellent. I mean, those are just suggestions, right?
Yeah.
Let's think about another one. What about the topic of family?
Oh, boy. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Take God's perspective. Take the perspective of someone who has never been married and doesn't want to be married and doesn't want to have kids. Take someone who the same, but has always wanted a family. Mm-hmm. Take someone who has come from an abusive family and how they see the role of the family. Mm-hmm. Therefore,
someone struggling with infertility.
Yep, they're great. Someone yes.
Divorce, going through a divorce right then.
You know what I think would be really neat in doing this? This is more on an application level. Is if we, and I want to really try this. I want to take a group, split them off, and then give them their rules and not let each other know what those rules are or the personas are and say, this is your persona. This is where you're coming from. And then so let them explain from their perspective and that not only their persona, but then their perspective of why.
So good. So good. Like nobody else would know.
Right.
Necessarily. But you know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And then I've got another one. Okay. Let me add to that. Okay. So this would be so fun. Okay. You do that. You have those groups broken up. They don't know who each other are. And then you come back and you make a statement and you let them start really arguing for their, this is the way I see it. No. Well, of course you wouldn't see it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And then after that, give their personas and then realize, oh, that's why you're thinking that. Okay. Yeah. Now I get it. Right. Because now at first they're thinking, well, my way is right.
Right.
This is the way it should be. And that's a great way to show them, just to explain this principle right here that you're teaching in this episode.
Yep. From a different perspective, it looks completely different.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I even thought, so go back to family for just a second and add the complexity of someone who has same-sex attraction is, you know, transitioning in terms of their gender or has a sibling or a son or daughter or whatever. Take the perspective of someone whose child left the church, someone whose child committed suicide. Like I just can think of so, and all of those can't be represented, but man, if you're doing what you described and you don't like, take it out of the game, no game, you're having a conversation with somebody, you are quote, arguing your perspective, not knowing what they've gone through. Think about how devastating and divisive that conversation has the potential to be.
Yeah, you're right.
And so part of what you do, the minute you know something about somebody else is you shift how you're talking about it. Automatically, like you're more sensitive, you're more compassionate. And so part of what you're trying to train up through this exercise is automatic compassion and sensitivity and perspective and willingness to do what you described a little bit earlier of just, oh, get curious. Like, I wonder if there's another way of looking at this, right? And then think about how that plays out in our ability to live our baptismal covenant. In Mosiah 18, right? To mourn with those that mourn, to comfort those that stand in need of comfort.
Right.
You know? I loved and was so actually touched by what I see as the potential of this type of exercise to change people's hearts in a classroom, to change how we look at certain principles of the gospel, right?
Yeah.
And to help people be hungry, like you... I think that would be a very engaging experience to try and do. And like you pointed out, there are a number of ways that could play out, be it through some kind of a game and activity, having people do kind of a blind study, if you will, and not know what the other people's personas are, assigning personas, dividing the class in half, dividing it into different sections, giving each group an assignment, giving you name it. Like there are 100 ways that you could do this. But the point is that we ought to be inviting ourselves and everyone in that class to try and see what other people see, to get out of our own selfishness and conceit enough to try and really value what other people have to add to our understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's so good. That reminds, when I was on my mission, I remember sitting with someone, and I don't remember what religion this is. I wish I should probably look it up. But they said that their prophet or their God or whatever was born out of the side of the mother. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And then the immediate thought was, yeah, but yours was born of a virgin. And I went, good
Interesting.
Wow. And my perspective completely changed about that person. Went from judging to like, good point. How does mine sound to them?
How is my miracle more valid than their miracle?
Right. Yeah. It was totally different perspective. I love this. This is so good. I almost want to just grab a whole bunch of adults and youth and put them together and do an exercise like this. This would be so much fun.
We do.
Party time.
I can't wait to teach next. I don't know when that is, but I can't wait to teach next.
Okay. So what is your takeaway? If you're going to say, okay, everyone go do this, what would you suggest people do?
When you are preparing your lesson, find a place to invite different perspectives. And this is what I would do. I would take your topic, and as you start to prepare it, think about a whole bunch of different divergent or varying perspectives that you might take. I think it will also actually change the way that you prepare a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it's something to consider whether or not you do the exercise. It's something to consider in your preparation, but I actually would invite you to do something within your class that invites people to step outside of their own perspective and take another.
As we're recording this, Come Follow Me is over section 89. The word.
Word of wisdom. Bam. Right. Do it. Right.
Right. There.
It's a little too late because they'll be past it by then.
I know.
But think about some of the sections that are coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy.
We got some goodies.
Oh, this is just gonna be so much fun. I'm gonna go do this. If I'm asked to teach.
I know, right?
I need to go do it.
It's awesome.
Thank you, Julie. This was so good. I'm seriously, genuinely excited to go try some of these things. And honestly, and not even just teaching, but I got a new perspective of how not to judge, of how to replace my judgy self and just be curious. And be excited to learn other people's perspective.
Yes, so, I love that.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate it so much. All right. So go share, subscribe, and then go find out other people's perspectives and help others learn perspective. Go do it. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Take care. Bye.